You are worthy to be praised. Yes, Father, you're worthy to be praised. We give you all the glory, all the honor. Hallowed be thy name. Father, we come in total surrender, seeking your face. We thank you, Father, for the precious blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin, from all unrighteousness. God, you see us, you know us. We cannot lie to you. We cannot deceive you. You know our hearts. And Lord, today, we ask, O God, that our steps be ordered by you, that our hearts beat according to your perfect will. Lord, O God, that daily we mortify the deeds of the flesh and by resurrection life live that life that is worthy of your glorious praise. We thank you, Father, that having risen from the dead, that we now seek those things which are above, where you are seated at the right hand of the Father. We thank you, Lord, O God, that we mortify the deeds of the flesh as we embrace your loving kindness and say, Father, have your way in our lives. Holy Spirit, guide us, help us, bring us into remembrance of the word of truth and empower us to live as we ought, to the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to have you here tonight for first Bible study since we took a break in July, I believe it was, and we completed the 14th chapter of the book of Proverbs. And so today we will be starting with the 15th chapter. But what we do know, wrapping up in the 14th chapter, is the statement of the Lord. He says, righteousness exalted a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. If there were ever a time that we see the playing out of those words, we see that today, with all of the upheaval happening, because man has taken God out of the public square, out of schools. Man has lost the sight of good. Man has lost the sight of good. And so nations are falling apart, literally falling apart. Man is becoming more like an animal than a representation of the image of God. I was thinking this maybe about 2 or 3 hours ago, that there is no good without God. You can't spell good without the letters that spell God. And when you step away from God, you start acting like a dog. And that's what's happening in our world today. People acting like dogs. We need God back. There are some, even in the media, that are beginning to say that. Say, something's wrong here. I think we took God out. We need God back. Yeah. Lots of things are happening in our world. And I believe there are exciting days ahead of us when the enemy thinks he's winning, he overplays his hand and things backfire. I'm trusting God that he will cause all of the workings of darkness to backfire on the enemy. Praise the Lord. Well, the 15th chapter of the book of Proverbs. It says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. A soft answer turneth away wrath. But grievous words stir up anger. It's important that we don't go at each other. When somebody's coming at you, that you find a way to tame all of that ferocious act by bringing forth a soft answer. You know, sometimes we'll think, oh, soft answer, that means that you're weak. No. The soft answer is only possible when you're really strong. Confrontation, battling, it just stirs up anger. And so it's a wise thing to do in relating with people, whether they are distant or close, to pick your words wisely with the intent to diffuse the tension. Because when we are yelling at each other, we hear nobody. And this person is screaming and this person is screaming. Nobody hears. When one person is screaming and the other person is calm, the person that is screaming might be screaming for a while, but after a while, when they don't see the other person attacking them, but speaking quietly, calmly, speaking to them in a way that causes them to reflect, then they will slow down. Now, 90-something percent of the time, that's exactly what's going to happen. But there is a 10%, I will say, where the person that is attacking from the position of wrath will perceive that whatever it is that he's doing, that he's winning. If you buy into that, then you are going to demonstrate and show fear. A soft answer is not posturing yourself from the position of fear. It is staying strong, toe to toe, but not speaking violence, grievous words. It will just stir up the pot and create more problems. Now, there was a woman of God that understood a lot about the brain. She was a Japanese lady, she spoke here quite a few times decades ago. Her name was Aiko Homan. I believe she's still alive, but she'll be very old now. I don't think that she'll be traveling much now. But I remember teaching here from her position was as an expert concerning the brain. And she talked about a part of the brain called the amygdala. And she says the amygdala causes people to react in nanoseconds before their minds think through. And when people get really upset, that amygdala, when it's triggered, gets them to be violent. And she said, there is a way to break that. And she said, you just clap. It is when you clap, it jerks the person back to normal. And they calm down, or at least the speed or the height of their anger is cut down dramatically. I found that very interesting, that God has a way to help people break that circuit so that they have a fighting chance to pull back the reins of anger, because the devil is such a bad devil. He will trigger this person over here and then trigger this person over here, and before you know it, they're at each other's neck. And that's not what God wants for us. He says, have a soft answer. It's going to turn away wrath. But if you don't go that way that I'm telling you, and you decide to bring forth grievous words, it will stir up anger. Then it says, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. Now, if you were to put the two things I just talked about the soft answer and about that clap, you use that knowledge correctly, it will diffuse the situation. So knowledge is given to us to know how to address situations. Knowledge. He says, but the mouth of the fool poureth out foolishness. He doesn't know when to keep his mouth shut. He just blah. You got to me, I'm going to get back at you. And sometimes there are people that are passive but aggressive. Even in their passivity, they are aggressive. They may not say much, but they find the one thing that is going to get you off. We need to be mindful of that and recognize that the enemy wants you in a state of conflict. Once you're in conflict. And what you and I need to do is try to get ourselves out of that conflict. Yeah, let them call you names. But get out of conflict. It's important. In the book of James, the third chapter, James tells us about the tongue. and tells us about how no man can control the tongue and all the things that happen in relationship with the tongue, how it is, actually it says in verse 5, it says, of James 3, it says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasted great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindled, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, says. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. So the tongue that's not controlled by the Lord is set on fire by hell. So when somebody is in the state of strife, they are bringing hell into your life. In fact, people say, I'm going to give you hell. That means someone talk your head off. The Word of God says, this is something that you cannot tame. And then says, it is full of deadly poison, the tongue. It is full of deadly poison. Verse 13 says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Who is a wise man who is endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Now, it now tells us where all of this strife is coming from. It says, but if you have bitter envying, if you have bitter envying, well, and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom, and he calls it wisdom, descended not from above, but is earthly, it is sensual, it is devilish. And then verse 16 hits it right on the head. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Every evil work is present where there's envy and strife. Where there's envy and strife, every evil work will be present. Wow. Incredible. What is envy related to? The word for envy in here is the word zealous. You can hear from the word, the Greek word zealous, the word zeal. Zeal for what? Zeal to have what somebody else has. Jealousy. Wanting to grab what somebody else has. They are successful. You want their success. So you hate them. So the Bible talks about evil envyings making you an enemy. That makes people to connive. So in pulling from that information here in James, and tagging it with Proverbs 15, we'll find out that this strife in Proverbs 15 that the Word of God is talking about is a strife that is based on somebody wanting something that you have. And what is the response of the Lord? He says, if somebody asks you to go a mile, go two. So, is that all you need? I'll do more. It smack you there, it says turn the other cheek. That is trying to diffuse the situation. Now, having said that, the statement of the Lord about somebody smacks you here, turn the other cheek, is not related to a third party. That third party can intervene when you smack and you're about to smack against this. Hey, man, what are you trying to do? You can intervene. Now, that particular aspect is being stripped from people. I think it was last year sometime, down south in the train or whatever it is you call it. Some guy was trying to hurt somebody else and terrorizing the car. And this guy stepped in and held him in a chokehold. Unfortunately, that guy died. And so they tried to put him in prison, but fortunately he didn't end up that way. But when people saw that intervening brought the person who was trying to help into trouble, we had something similar that happened just 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago. A young lady comes into the train, sits down. Some guy from behind gets up and starts stabbing her and kills her. They don't know each other. And the people around, not one person moved to help. Nobody. Because if I try to help, I'll get in trouble. They might want to throw me in jail too. So I am not going to do anything. So we're living in a world where people see people hurt, abused, and nobody does anything about it because the system, the devilish system, is getting people tuned in to a place where they don't want to be involved at all. Think for a moment, if you were in that kind of a situation, would you want somebody to be involved to help you? Just the other day, I saw an elderly man, 78 years old, walking with his walker. And this guy jumps him, knocks him down, beats him, grabs his money. And it's videotaped. Somebody videotaped and did nothing. Then, hey, what are you doing? Nothing. We live in a confused world. the wisdom that causes people to strategize to bring about evil, the Bible says that wisdom is not from above. It is first earthly, sensual, and devilish. But there's a wisdom. Remember, we're still talking about the tongue. The whole chapter is talking about the tongue. It says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, it is peaceable, it is gentle, it is easy to be entreated. It is easy to be entreated. So when somebody is moving by the Spirit of God, you can entreat them. You can talk to them. But if they are operating by another spirit, then you have to exercise the authority of a greater spirit. The authority of the greater spirit being that name which is above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. And that name and the word that is connected to that name says, God has not given to you and I the spirit of fear, but the spirit of love, power, and a sound, mature, disciplined mind. So when there's conflict, God will grant wisdom. God will grant wisdom. But one thing I've learned through the years is this, that the things of God don't just happen like that. He trains you in it. You have to train that spiritual muscle and grow. In making certain that you are a person that does not create and generate more and more strife because you're trying to self-preserve or your pride is hurt or whatever. I'm not going to go there. I know where you're going. But if I go there with you, this is just going to go out of hand. So bring the temperature down. It's a wise thing to do. Bring that temperature down. Oh, people are going to call me weak. Let them call you weak. Let them call you names. Just bring the temperature down. Because where there is strife, every other evil work is going to manifest itself. So bring it down. That's wisdom. Amen? Now, but foolish people just pour out and just, they want to win the argument. So you won the argument. Now what? Really, now what? That's like the dog pursuing the vehicle, finally catches up with it. And what now does it do with it? You finally caught up. Now what? I want to win the argument. So now you won it. Now what? You want to go find Zealous and buy a trophy or what? Huh? You want it. You want it. It's useless nonsense. Now the word of God goes and says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. That is primarily why you must not take on the fight by yourself. Because you know God is seeing what's going on. He's going to handle it. He's going to deal with it. I'm convinced that God allows nothing without something greater. I'm thinking of Charlie Kirk right now that was assassinated. He had 3,200 chapters in high schools and colleges. The last how many years that he's been doing what he's doing. Now, when he got assassinated, within 2 days, 37,000 requests to have chapters of Turning Point all across the nation, and even from other nations, 37,000. How long will he have to work to get 37,000 chapters? But in 2 days, all these years, he had only had 3,000 plus. Now, 37,000? Wow. Did God see that he was going to get more out of this? Yeah. Is he going to take off the wife and the children? Yeah. But God's heart is about souls. It's sometimes hard for us to comprehend that God sees, his eyes are everywhere. And if he knows everything before it happens, then we must also recognize the fact that the God who knows everything before it happens allowed some things to happen because he knows everything that's going to happen after that. And he's calibrated all of that in the details. Because firstly, he wants me saved. And from that point on, everything else is extra. So God will allow different things for a greater purpose. But what we also do know is this, that because he sees everything everywhere, that he knows when and if I am pretending that I am exercising self-control while I'm sitting on the inside and I'm swearing and cursing and everything, he knows what's inside your heart. And we cannot deceive God. I can lie to people, I can pretend, but there's no pretentious living before God. God sees everything. And to even think that you can hide something from God, it's ridiculous and a form of idolatry, because you're assuming that there's something that you can get away with and God doesn't see it. So God sees both sides. And what's important is this, that if I find myself in a place where I'm fighting to control myself, that I go to God and say, God, I'm very, very upset right now. I need help. Help me. Help me to take a hold of my emotions right now. There are people who live just for the public talk. Let's say, for example, somebody hurt a member of your family, a friend, killed them. You can do one of two things. you can, or maybe a little bit more than that, you can say, out of a pure heart, I am angry with this person that did such an evil thing to my family member, but I choose to forgive. I am not going to allow that which this person did to continue to ruin my life. I choose to forgive, and it will be out of a pure heart. Clean. God sees it. But you can say the same thing. I choose to forgive, and you go home and you're boiling mad. But in public, you're smiling away. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Those are the people that die from depression. They're not facing up with the issue that they're facing. God can understand that you're upset and that you're angry about the situation. But don't tell me that you forgave when you've not forgiven. Tell me, I'm so hurt right now, I need God to help me to forgive. That's the truth. Stick with that. Stick with that. And next week, did you forgive yet? Oh, brother. Man, I'm still boiling here. Pray for me. That's the truth. God understands that. Lying about, so that people think, oh, he's such a good man, such a Christian, such a godly person. Excuse me? Like God doesn't see what's going in there? Give yourself a good shake in the head. We must stop pretending. So when we're talking about the soft answer, we're talking about, God, help me. Father God, help me to deal with this situation in the wisdom of your Spirit. May I not cause your name to be blasphemed. Help me, Father. I need your help. I need your help. It is not easy for us, but it's easy for God who sees. And so the next verse says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Wow. So, what is that? A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. The Lord puts it this way. He says, bless them that despitefully use you. So somebody's talking trash, cursing you out. And you say, peace. Receive the peace of God. I pray the peace of God over you, and I pray the peace of God over me. Every step of the way. And what is that doing? It is training my spiritual muscle to know how to respond rather than react. What the enemy wants me to do is react. What God wants me to do is to respond. How? By having a wholesome tongue. A wholesome tongue. A wholesome tongue is a tongue that is controlled by the Lord. God has my tongue. A wholesome tongue is a tongue that has practiced speaking truth and not lies. A tongue that is not wholesome is a lying tongue. And it is championed by the father of lies. But that's not who we want to be. We want to be God's kind of people. And so, my tongue is a reflection of how much my call to obedience to the will of God is. Am I obedient to God on a daily basis? Am I feeding myself with the Word of God? When you look at the book of James, it starts out this way in chapter 3. It says, my brethren, be not many masters. Be not many masters. Knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Why is that? Because the word didaskalos is a word for a teacher, an instructor. So don't be many instructors. Because as an instructor, you know what you're supposed to do and how to do it. And if you're not doing it, you expose yourself to greater condemnation. Not just by man, but also from God. You know, I look at people sometimes who have no understanding. This one wants to be a teacher of the word. This one wants to be a pastor. This one, and God has not called you. Stay away. Stay away from it. You just want, you want to be a teacher. Okay. God says, start teaching. Now you know what the truth is. You got to live it out. Don't just tell me, well, James chapter this and no. I'm going to give you enough opportunities to prove and to live out that grace on your life so that you can be an effective, powerful, anointed, capable man or woman of God. He says, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. We shall be not many masters. I know I'm a master and greater condemnation. Wow. He says, for in many things we offend all. And how easy it is for instructors, teachers, pastors, leaders to offend. So easy. So you got to reel yourself in. He says, if any man offend not in word, if you don't offend in word, he says, that man, that same is a perfect man, mature man, if you don't offend in word. He says, you're a mature man. And able also to bridle the whole body. Mature people bridle the whole body. They put themselves in control. They don't just spout out stuff. I'm angry, so you start cursing people out. I'm supposed to be a leader. You know, David is a man after God's heart. But David is not allowed to build the temple. He collected all the materials, but he's not allowed to build the temple. And the reason of that God won't allow him says, because you got so much blood. You're a killer. You're a killer, man. So I'm not going to allow you to build. Now, the Word of God tells us that with our tongues we murder. Do you, do I lose control of our tongues? Now, he says, no man. But he also says the perfect man is able to control it, bridle the whole body. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. If you offend not in word, you're a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. So a man who is mature and disciplines himself to make sure that he doesn't offend. See, that man is able to have control of his whole body. However, he goes on and says, behold, we put bits in a horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. In essence, bits are there to turn around the whole body of the man or the horse or whatever. He says, behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, driving that ship. He says, yet are they turned about with a very small helm. Wow. A very small helm. Whichsoever the governor listed. He turns that whole ship around with that helm. Even though the wind is blowing, he turns that whole thing around. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasted great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindled. Now, lest we miss the point. The bit in the mouth of the horse is attached to reins, which is handled by the rider. The ship is controlled by the governor or the captain with that small helm, which is like the tongue. And it's going to say to us that the tongue no man can tame. So, what is the point God is trying to make to us? Whoever it is that is the captain of your life, the governor of your life, controls your tongue. Whoever it is that is pulling on the reins, that is tugging on the bit in the mouth of the horse, that's who is controlling that horse. So in essence, if God is in control and is Lord over your life, your tongue will speak righteously and will speak life. Because your tongue, the wholesome tongue, is like the tree of life. Yeah? And it says in verse 9, it says, 8 coming to 9, it says, with the tongue we bless and we curse. The tongue nobody can tame. Through that tongue you bless God, even the Father, and with it you curse men, which are made in the similitude or the image of God. In other words, with the same mouth that you're blessing God with, you're cursing God with. So, we need to understand that we are talking to God all the time. That may be a little bit heavy, but when I am abusing you, railing at you, I am railing and abusing the God who created you. When I think that way, I stop and say, what I'm about to say, what about that glorifies God or honors God? What about that honors God? If I cannot see a place in the statements I'm about to make that is going to honor God, I better shut my mouth. It says, out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. You're either for God or you're not. If you're for God, then speak godly. Doth a fountain send forth the same place with water and bitter? Out of the same tap? Out of the same pool? Out of the same well? No. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? It's not going to happen. So, point. Do you belong to God? If you belong to God, then don't go about saying, well, it's just my personality. It's just my personality. That's just the way I am. Huh? No, God gave you your personality, whatever personality that it is, for a good purpose, not to be a hindrance. Peter had a personality, and God could see how he could use that personality. Paul had a personality, and God could see how he could use that. There are some people that are laid back, and their laid back setting is a God thing. Don't curse it. You know, some people are really skinny and short. Some people are very tall. The small, skinny person can fit inside the small space and get something done on the other side that the tall guy cannot. And the tall guy can get something up, way up there in the top of the shelf that the other one cannot. But okay. Everybody's fine. It is well. We must find good in each other, something positive. May not look on the surface like it's a good thing, but it is. Somebody has fire, celebrate that fire. Just don't use your fire to burn the house down. your water? Good. Just don't drown people. Whoever it is that you are because of God's grace. Use that in the wisdom of God's Spirit to be everything that God wants you to be. And let me just read quickly. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. What else does the Word of God say is a tree of life? Do you remember? Okay. The Word of God says, he that, when faith comes, it's a tree of life. Okay. It says also, he that winneth souls is wise, and that it is a tree of life. So when we talk about the wholesome tongue being a tree of life, what God is saying to us is this: seize every opportunity to win your brother. Seize every opportunity to win your brother, to win your sister, to bring them home. Every opportunity, do your utmost rather than get all wound up. Because if you're not working towards that, you are bringing about a separation. You're creating a breach in the spirit. Hurts that remain unhealed. And fall into this vicious circle of being wounded and wounding. People that allow themselves to be wounded end up wounding people. I've seen it play out over and over again. You've been hurt, you're bitter about it, and what was done to you, you do it to people, other people. People that have been sexually abusing other people. Why? Bitterness. People that have been abused verbally abusing other people. You've gone through that. Why are you repeating that whole circle again? Because you've not allowed yourself to be healed. You've not allowed people to speak into your life. And we have to do our utmost to speak life into people. Now, sometimes it may not be something that you do publicly before them, but privately, you go and call that person's name. Say, God, they're hurting, heal. Heal them. They're hurting and they're beginning to hurt other people. Heal them. Call their name, pray for them. And pray for yourself. This is necessary in the church, in our families, between husband and wives, in our places of business, in government, in society at large. When that doesn't happen, it just generates more pain. In conclusion, there are people who do not want God and don't want to come under the lordship of God in their lives. And it doesn't matter what you say to them, how calmly you say it, how wisely you say it, they're going to be offended anyway. Their offense is not really about you. It's ultimately about them being offended with God and what God stands for. So we live in a world where whatever it is that I've said today, or I've said from behind the holy desk or pulpit, can be characterized as hate speech. If you say to somebody, don't steal, don't lie, don't commit adultery, don't be covetous, don't be greedy, it's hate speech. How dare you tell me that? Don't judge me. It's really not you, it's that they don't want God. And so whatever is being said out of love and care for them becomes you being critical and judgmental and not loving them and whatever else. Now, because of what people think or how they react, that must not affect how you deal in life. You must stand on the solid rock of God's love all the time. And love, speak in love, whatever it is that you do, do as unto the Lord, glorifying Him, knowing that He sees everything, He understands everything, and that He will judge righteously based on what you've said. Verse 5 says, a fool despiseth his father's instruction. People are going to despise your instruction, your guidance, your love, but let that not stop you from doing what is right. That young lady that was stabbed so many times, somebody, even recognizing that I might get stabbed trying to help, or they might want to throw me in jail because I try to help, goes past themselves. If I were in this situation, what would I want somebody to do to help me? And in the wisdom of God, help. If a whole bunch of those people in that place jumped on that guy, maybe that girl would still be alive. Maybe she would have died, but at least you know you helped. Every single one of them are going to go home and they're going to be thinking, why didn't I help? We don't want to live in a world of regrets. Sometimes it's a matter of picking up the phone and calling for help. Whatever it is that God gives you the wisdom to do, take action, proper action, that glorifies God and saves a life. But most of all, this tongue you must use wisely. Amen. Praise the Lord. We'll stop there today.